Good morning, Mr. Schwani.
Well, good morning.
You have been sponsored by MedVetChicago.com. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well.
How's the family? Nice weather we're having.
Yeah, nice weather. Yes. How is the family? No, it's good to be back. Had a nice weekend off last weekend, so back in the saddle today.
Oh, were you not there last weekend?
I had the weekend off.
Oh, I knew that. This story I have to tell you is interesting, I think, because it speaks of the internet. So I was about 6 months ago, 5 months ago, just walking down the street with our dogs. I saw this guy kind of huddled between the two storefronts with his dog. And it turns out there's a homeless guy and he had a dog and a young guy, you know, not even maybe 30 years old. So struck up a conversation and asked him how I can help him. I thought, well, maybe I could help you get a job, you know, and
good for you. Man, that's great.
Well, difficult because what do you do with the dog during the day? So if you're homeless, where do you put the dog?
That you were reaching out to help this person, that's really great.
Well, so it's not, hang on. So we had a conversation about it. I actually had some ideas. You know, I know some animal shelters in the city because I know people who run animal shelters. Yeah. So I thought, all right, maybe an animal shelter can take his dog during the day. Maybe a doggy daycare. Maybe he could work at a doggy daycare, actually.
Right.
They could take his dog during the day. And he was kind of so-so about it. The alderman who most cares about the homeless in Chicago, I would argue, I phoned and talked about it with him and then called the guy back. I took his cell phone number and couldn't get an answer. I suspect the phone was stolen or lost or disconnected or something. So that was kind of the end of that, and I didn't see him again. So months go by. Oh, no, here. So I wrote a blog post explaining all this, and all of these people said, yeah, I tried to help him too. I know him. I've met him. One woman, Dale, I believe, took him in for some time. So all of these people... Fascinating to me what social media can do. All of these people in social media who aren't necessarily, they're kind of in the animal welfare world of sorts. They follow me, so they care about animals, but they don't work in the industry every day. I mean, these are just fans, you know, that are on my page. And they said, well, we know him. So get that response. Months go by. And yesterday I get a post on my Facebook page saying, this dog has been lost. And it turned out the guy had a seizure. He has seizures, which I didn't know, but he had a seizure, landed in the hospital, and no one knows where his dog is. His dog is named Mika, M-E-E-K-A. And there's a picture of Mika on my personal page, or I bet you could just Google Mika, M-E-E-K-A, a husky mix, 7 years old. And I normally don't talk about lost dogs on the air because that's all I then would be doing.
Right, sure.
That's what the entire show would be. However, in this case, because of the circumstance, I thought I would mention it. Thank you very much, Dave.
You bet.
Oh, now he does this.
Oh, there's the
music. I talked to him already. Me too.
That's got to be Judy Garland, maybe?
Yeah, Sean. Shaking his head, yes.
Okay, I got one right for a change.
All right, thank you very much, Dave. We'll talk to you after 7 o'clock. In the studio, I have a legend sitting with me. She is there. She's shaking her head no. Gloria Listener. You may not know her name, but in Andersonville, she had a place called Famous Fido's for, had to be like 20 years or close to that, Gloria.
It's about 40, actually.
What?
It started in 1980. The original Doggy Deli and Bakery.
And you were one of the first, if not maybe the first in Chicago, to have a Doggy Deli and Bakery.
Yeah, we were the first. We were the first that created a dog restaurant and dog bakery for dogs. And it picked up national media, UPI, Associated Press, and it went actually worldwide. And then people started opening up dog bakeries.
Yeah, and you had dog parties there. Yeah. But it became much more than that very quickly.
Yeah. We were still doing animal rescue before it was even called rescue, the same time the Doggy Deli came out in the late 1970s. And it's still very much needed.
Oh, yeah, which we'll talk about. So you changed locations. You're now on Irving Park Road. And I know you and I have had many discussions about the so-called no-kill initiative that Chicago wants to do. And you're very much a proponent.
We sure are. Well, we opened up a place. Our new building is 3124 West Irving Park. And it's quite a facility. It's a 9,000-square-foot facility. We have our rescue there, which we have about 70 animals in our rescue, 37 cats and 38 dogs. And we do much more than that. We help people with interventions that are possibly wanting to give their animals to shelters or abandoning their animals. We do rehoming. We help people with the adoption process because I feel there needs to be a whole new way of thinking about how people bring animals into their life.
Well, you were telling me about these two people that came in, or one person that came in yesterday.
Yeah. Several people came in this week to abandon their animals, and one was a gentleman who just got a condo, and he didn't read the lease or the condo text, and he moved in, and he then found out he couldn't keep his dogs, and he's had his Maltese Shih Tzu for 7 years, and a little poodle named Bella for 2 years. They had beautiful little collars on, and there was a 12-year-old girl involved. And he just said, we can't have the dogs. What can I do? And I said, well, maybe we should talk to the condo board because there was some false advertising on the website.
Oh, was there?
Yeah, and they took it down. But he really didn't want to fight for his animals. You know, that's the problem. People make excuses, and they don't want to find the solution on how they can keep their dogs. I'm not saying everybody, but the majority of people that come to me want to give up their dogs. They find animals. They don't want to take the time to look for the microchip. There was a cat that also came in. The people are moving to Algiers, and they're moving in September, and they have a cat named Misha. She's at our facility right now. And I was trying to work with them so they'd give us a little time so we could find placement either in a foster or try to find that cat refuge. And he had it in a duffel bag without any air holes on it.
What?
And he was driving around, and he said, you know, if you don't take the cat, we're just leaving it on the street in the duffel bag. And when it came in, I noticed it had no air ventilation in the bag. It was a gym bag. And they had that cat for over 5 years, and there was another daughter involved. And she was very sad. It's really not a good thing to actually show children when people give up their animals like that either. You know, it shows kids that you can not solve problems, you get rid of them, get rid of animals, and you don't think about it.
What I don't understand, so as you know, I like data. And, and statistically, it's over 90% of people say pets are members of the family. So where's the disconnect?
Well, there's been a lack of education for years. We don't talk to people about adoption and how they feel. It's actually buy, sell, and trade off animals. Buying them, selling them, and trading them off.
Well, let's take those one at a time. So buying them, you mean from a breeder?
Well, buying them from a puppy store.
Well,
or a
that's not happening as much. So hopefully all of the stores in Chicago sooner than later that sell dogs will be closed. Or they won't be allowed to sell dogs. I don't want them to close, but I don't want them to sell dogs. That's what the ordinance says. So, because they're puppy mill dogs. So we want that, and that's not going to happen. Where else are they buying them
from? Well, they're buying them on Craigslist.
Yes.
They're buying them
so
from
that's kind of a, I want to talk about that. So when you buy a dog online, it's kind of a tricky proposition, isn't it? You don't know where the dogs are from. No matter what they say,
right,
you don't know the truth.
Exactly. They're also backyard breeding is a really big problem. We have actually three giant schnauzers at our facility, the mother, the father, and the son. And there were 13 schnauzers that were in this guy's house, and he did get evicted. And he let those 10 other schnauzers go out there unneutered and unspayed. And I have the three, which I'm trying to find a home for. They're going next week for their veterinarian. They're all going to get spayed and neutered.
Giant schnauzers. That's not an easy breed either.
No, it's not an easy breed. No. They're very they're called Velcro dogs. They're very they're great dogs, but they you need the right person that knows a giant schnauzer or can deal with that breed. But the point is, you can get animals from backyard breedings and backyard breeders, and it really needs to stop. That's really where these animals are funneling in from. People are selling animals for money, to create income for themselves.
Well, I worry. You heard me talk about this dog, Mika. and it was a friendly dog. So I worried that this dog just wandered off when his person had a seizure, and maybe someone took the dog in, perhaps well-meaning, perhaps not so well-meaning. You don't know.
Right. That, well, there's so much involved with No Kill. It's our facility in Irving Park, which I do invite everybody to come. We need intervention counselors. We need adoption counselors.
Well, you just opened it recently.
We've
right?
been there 6 months.
Yeah.
And people come there thinking we're an open door shelter. It's a 9,000 square foot space. So we are not an intake center, but we do help people try to keep their animals and not take them to shelters.
You know, that's the thing about No Kill, though, that I want to talk to you about. This is Catch-22, and I'll explain what I mean. And we want to talk to all of you. 312-981-7200. You could text us. You can call us. 312-981-7200. Have you been out on one of those architecture crews on Lake Michigan or on down the Chicago River?
Absolutely. I took my little dog Topo Gigio on it.
You're talking about the canine cruise then?
Well, no, I just, there was a cruise where they allowed dogs. I guess,
that's
guess it.
It
was the canine
that's
cruise.
It.
Yeah.
It started right here.
Yeah.
The whole idea of it. Yeah. So it's summer, and you know what that means. It means the canine cruise, Mercury's canine cruise. It set sail Saturday and Sundays, like this morning at 10:15. I'm going this morning, actually, with my sister,
neat.
Brother-in-law, a nephew, his girlfriend, and all of our dogs.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah, 10:15 this morning, or any Saturday and Sunday through September 25th. You can enjoy the cool breeze in your hair. By the way, you know, it embarks at 10:15.
Okay, I got it.
Oh, thank you. That's the best Bob Ferguson can do. I don't take blame for that. It's a 90-minute ride. It goes up the river out on Lake Michigan. It really is so much fun, as you had with Topo Gigio.
Oh, my baby.
Yeah, doggy restrooms are there. They have, I'm not sure what that means. There are water bowls on board. Tickets available at mercurycruises.com, mercurycruises.com, or at the dockside box office. Mercury Cruises, they're right on the Riverwalk right here, Michigan Avenue and Wacker Drive. They're on the southeast side of the street. Southeast side of the street. Our phone number, our text, 312-981-7200. And I indeed do have several texts here for Gloria Listener. A famous Fido rescue and adoption on Irving Park Road at about Kimball?
A block before Kedzie.
Kedzie, yeah, yeah. And the question is this. You said that there's a downside to No Kill. I can't imagine what that is. So, leads right into where I want to go here. If all of the facilities say they're No Kill, that's a good thing. But the problem is, to me, on the other end, it's about people giving up pets. So if a facility says they are No Kill, at some point in time, you or any other facility will fill up. You will. They're just, sadly, that's the problem. That's my point.
Mm-hmm.
There's too many animals that people are giving up. And I know with that one sentence anyway, you agree.
Absolutely.
So where is there then room? To me, the problem isn't so much whatever marketing term we call it. It's about the community giving up these animals and about providing what I have called on the air, and we've talked about it, safety nets for people in trouble. So there are ways, if you are homeless, if you are abused in cases of domestic abuse, for example, that you can go to a shelter with animals. Number one reason why people give up their pets is behavior. Are there enough resources for people who have pets with problem behaviors? And they're not always biting dogs, which is what people think of. And some of those dogs probably do need to be euthanized if they're truly aggressive dogs, in my opinion, that we cannot turn around. But the average behavior problem is a cat that's inappropriately eliminating. So you mentioned moving, you know, people aren't looking at the leash, you know. So it's on that end. It's not the shelter's fault. It's the people that give up their animals. And that's, but I don't know that you completely agree or not.
No, I think it's a combination of things. I think it is largely the public is giving up their animals and there are no consequences to them. And a lot of the reasons they give them up are very lame excuses. They're not because they are poverty stricken, losing their home. It's because, you know, of some inconvenience. And even if you are having a terrible time and you have to give up your animal, the only way I would say to do that is to rehome it and get it into a home and not bring it to a shelter. A no-kill shelter, there's too much competition with other animals. There's not enough homes, good homes for the animals. And in high-kill shelters, you don't know if your animal's going, if the animal's going to get killed. And whenever you hand that leash over to anybody, a person on the street, a Craigslist person, a no-kill, a kill shelter, you don't know where that animal is going to go. And these animals should have been taken in and adopted as family members.
Mm-hmm. So if you could snap your fingers and make one thing happen, what would that be?
Well, it'd be a couple things. All backyard breeding needs to stop in Chicago.
How do you do that?
Well, it's not that complicated. I believe that no kill has layers of things, and they all need to happen together. One is no kill. I mean, one is breeding animals. People have to get fined if they breed animals. And nobody gets fined. Nothing happens to them. The other thing is the micro.
So even the really good breeder who's legitimately breeding Cocker Spaniels, they can't breed?
I just think there's way too many dogs and cats. I think there needs to be a moratorium on this. Completely shut down all backyard breeding and breeding animals.
And the number of cats, see, that's where we disagree. The number of purebred cat breeders, there's probably two in Chicago. It's minuscule.
Well,
so why are we going to penalize even if you could find that
most
person?
Of these people?
So with cats, those that breed cats do it inside their homes. How would police even know, and why should they?
Well, it's way beyond that. It's like the 13 schnauzers I just told you about. It's a number one thing, the bully breeds that are going into the shelter. Over 49% of those dogs are killed. People are breeding animals everywhere. Customers that come in for grooming at our facility have dogs that are unneutered and unspayed, and they want to breed their dogs. It's about education. There's too many. If you see these animals going into body bags and being killed at shelters, maybe they would take it into a different light.
So what would I don't understand what the solution would be. I mean, would you mandate spay neuter?
I just feel that spay-neuter is very important, but I feel that the backyard breeding and where people are just breeding these dogs and there's no homes for them, and that's why they're going to shelters. There's three reasons why animals go to shelters. One is owner surrender. Second is no microchip. And third is court case or confiscation or eviction, something in that.
Sure.
If we could get that microchip situated with the rabies tag.
Yes,
and
there we agree.
The idea,
other communities do it.
Right. All these strays that go, there's not enough time to find the people that they belong to, and they go either to a rescue or they're killed. And if they had an ID, the microchip, this would not happen.
Well, they've got to keep the microchip registration up to date.
Right.
But yes, I agree with you, and I think the dog licensing should go through the same place.
There's three.
It should all be one thing, not this complex.
Right. So in the forefront of why people are abandoning dogs, getting the backyard breeding to stop, getting the microchip situated would be a really positive thing. Animals could find their way home. That dog Mika you were talking about could have found his person again if he had a phone number.
Yeah.
And there's solutions, but it has to do with the public. It has to do with the shelters, because shelters should be a place where animals get care, but there's too many, so shelters can't do it. There's too many animals there.
We mostly do agree. You are amazing. The work that you've done for decades now is incredible. Tell us the location that you're at.
The location is 3124 West Irving Park, and it's famousphytorescue.org. And email us if you need anything or you want to get involved with our volunteer program. We need your help, and there's a lot more work to do, and I don't know if it's going to get done in my lifetime.
It will get done in your lifetime.